Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the first Monday of summer, even though it's felt like summer for a long time here in Tucson. Maybe, just maybe, this will be the week signaling the start of the often anticipated summer thunderstorm season. Let's hope we get the rain coming into Tucson sometime in the next week or so. Ed Alexander with me. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, June 22nd, 2015. Our Monday political face-off will get us rolling down the track, and then our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year, joins us at 12:30. Then we'll talk with the author of a new book about the giant of the Arizona forests. The name of the book is Ponderosa. But the Monday political face-off is up first. Every Monday we do kick the week off with the face-off featuring a team of commentators. This week, seated to the right of me and now in his third term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, it's Mr. Bruce Ash, and Paul Eckerstrom is with us. Paul is the former chair of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. Bruce and Paul, how are you gentlemen today?
Hot.
I know you're. It is hot. A little bit of road work going on out by the station, but Paul made it just in time, and We're very glad he did. Bruce, how was your weekend?
My weekend was awesome. Mm-hmm. Celebrated my father-in-law, Simon Moretz. We call him Poppy. We celebrated his 96th birthday, and we celebrated Father's Day together. Our son and daughter-in-law came a long way cross-country to be with him, and it was a lot of fun. Our local son and his wife were with us, and his other grandchildren were there too, Josh Moret, and it was a grand weekend. No matter how hot it was a grand weekend.
I saw that picture you posted for your friends, and I'm lucky enough to be one of your friends. You posted a picture of Poppy. Does Poppy live in town?
He lives right here in Tucson, okay. And worked for Hughes in the U.S. Air Force for many, many years. He was a veteran of World War II, was severely injured outside of Brest, France, 19 August 1944, and earned the Bronze Star and Purple Heart for his efforts that afternoon in a mortar attack, which disabled his company in the Super 6th armor, and he's quite a guy.
Well, there aren't many, Paul, left of these World War II vets.
No, and we got to honor them as much as possible. You know, I'm a student of history, and World War II was a pivotal event in the 20th century that really changed the world, and a lot of those veterans were the ones that changed it for the better.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe is where we take all of our fine needs with our when we're looking for fine framing. Moe can take care of it easily with all his custom-framed work that he does there. They've got some great mirrors. They have wonderful art. It's just a really great location. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and, of course, they are on Facebook. Paul and Bruce, there was a Washington Post article, I think it was posted on Friday, Why Teachers Are Fleeing Arizona in Droves. This is something you've been talking about, Paul Eckerstrom, here on The Face-Off for a long time, but basically the crux of the article is that we may be facing a teacher shortage here in Arizona, and you guessed it when it comes to why the teachers are leaving.
Yeah, we're asking people who have to eventually earn their master's degree appropriately to teach our kids to be well-educated. We pay them $31,000 about a year starting salary, especially coming out of college with loans. You can't support a family on that. And the average pay of teachers is at $49,000 or thereabouts. Again, much less competitive than states surrounding us in Nevada, California, where they make $10,000, $12,000 more a year on the average. And, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, we were 26th in spending among the states in the 80s. And in 1991, when we started cutting our income tax to what it's now one-third of what it used to be, and eliminated the property tax altogether for the state, and gave huge corporate tax cuts, you can see the trend over that period of time directly corresponding with the loss of revenue in the state to the to the loss of actual funding of our per pupil spending. We're well below the average per pupil spending among the states. We are pretty much dead last, depending on which group you does these things. But we're dead last in funding of our K through 12. We've had slashed our universities. And what this tells me, and I'll give you a specific example. I have a friend who works at Utterback Middle School as a counselor, mm-hmm. and he basically said last year only one third of the teachers were actually certified teachers. The rest of the positions had to be filled by long-term substitute teachers who aren't necessarily certified.
The kind of day hire.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be just subbing in when a teacher gets sick, not spend long-term. The whole year. Yeah. And that's two-thirds of the school. And, and one of the problems is not just teacher salaries. It's the resources the teachers have in the classroom. My kids were going through school, middle of the year, the Doolin Middle School had to ask parents to bring in toilet paper because they had run out of toilet paper and had no funding for it for the bathrooms in the school. That's how bad it's gotten. And so, and this is a statewide problem, and it's an economic problem, because if our schools aren't good and we're getting articles like this, there was one similar to this in the New York Times about a month earlier, that now nationally people read about this, companies read about this, they're not going to bring their companies to this state.
All right, let's bring Bruce Ash into the conversation. Bruce, what some of your thoughts on this?
Well, I thank Paul for his comments. Unfortunately, they are just that, and they're complaints. They're not solutions. The solution is what Republican legislators have been talking about for a long time, and that is reducing the amount of overhead and administrative costs and giving more money to teachers. There is nobody in this state who would argue that teachers are overpaid. Our teachers need to be paid at a better wage. They need to be rewarded for their excellence and for their achievements. That is a key component in getting our kids, our next generation, to where we want them to be. There are several reasons behind this problem. And it's not just because, as Paul points out, corporations have received tax breaks. We have far more money coming into the Treasury today than we ever imagined 20 or 25 years ago. Part of the problem is the failure of the state under both Republican as well as Democrat administrations to properly handle state trust fund sales. Part of the problem is we're one of those states west of the Mississippi who hardly owns any of their open land here in the state. And that's not just for housing developments or shopping centers. That's also from, mineral resources and exploration and what have you. The state of Arizona has been talking about doing this, and we've been ridiculed by Democrats who think that this is some crazy Tea Party plot to somehow subvert the federal government. States like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Texas and Mississippi, they all have control of these open lands for the most part, and that's how they build on their tax base. And these are some of the solutions to getting better pay for teachers. And if they are leaving, certainly the governor and the legislature should address even more quickly the emergent problems that we currently have.
Well, you know what? All I have to say is you get what you pay for. Bruce seems to agree with that. You need to pay these people a salary that's commensurate with what they can do in the private sector, or at least close, and that's the only way you're going to stop it. I mean, pure and simple, you get what you pay for. Bruce is a businessman. He understands that concept. Labor shortages are usually because you're not paying the people enough to get the labor in that you need. And if we want the best and the brightest teaching our kids, which everybody says is the number one thing in terms of academic excellence for our kids, a good teacher, you need to pay them. Now, here's the problem. I mean, he's talking about blue smoke and mirrors. Hmm. We've had tax cuts for wealthy people since the early 90s, every single year.
And the Treasury and has grown in
yeah,
direct
Bruce,
inverse
proportion.
You want
to say the Treasury's grown, but not per capita, because this state is a growing state, which means you got to build more roads, you got to build more schools, you got to hire more teachers, all of that, and commensurate with the population growth. So, you know, it's per capita spending is the problem, and that's been dropping precipitously, especially in the field of education, since 1991. And until people start to say, yeah, we want good schools. Yeah, we're willing to pay for it.
Nobody,
I know the
Paul,
general
nobody
public,
says we want lousy schools. We all want good schools.
The general public
stop
want,
saying that.
The
Paul.
General public wants that. Every poll says that. But this Republican legislature, this control, this legislature,
are you saying
for all those years,
they have, don't want good schools? People like
come on.
Well,
Paul,
they want
get
school.
Over,
they want good schools on the cheap. But you can't
no.
just do that. It okay. you know, frankly, you know, you do get what you pay for. If you want good schools, you have to fund them properly.
Bill, okay. let me just sure. say that districts, for example, like Sarita, Vail, Amphitheater, they get the same per pupil funding that TUSD and some of the Democrat-controlled inner-city school districts in this state do. And they have great academic excellence. They have great graduation rates. They have great achievement in their schools. And Paul, don't say that, because by you throwing out these Democrat sound bites, all you're doing is demeaning parents and their children, who most of them in these districts are achieving.
Well, let's have some real facts here.
Okay.
The real fact of the matter is you know, yes, yeah, some school districts do better than other school districts in Arizona for a variety of reasons, economic position of the population in their area or not. But let's be real. This is a statewide problem. It's not just TUSD losing school teachers. They're losing teachers everywhere. Ask the Vail School District Superintendent. He'd say the same thing. Yes, they perform better than at TUSD in a lot of areas academically, and they maybe run things a little bit better. I don't know. But you know what? They're losing teachers too, and this isn't just specific to any particular school district. It's specific to everybody, all the school districts in Arizona. And that's a real problem, because, yes, you know, states, I mean, companies that move here look at tax base and all that. But you know what? One of the number one things they look at is how good is the education system.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting.
They're not going to move here if we got the worst one in the country.
And it's interesting, Paul, because two of the biggest brain companies, Intel and Apple, have done huge, huge investments in new facilities here in Arizona, and are hiring thousands of those students and people who you think are getting bad education.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom going at it on our Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery. Be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:20 here in Tucson, Arizona on this Monday, the 22nd of June. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. You can also check out their really nice website, moesgallery.com, and of course, they have a presence on Facebook. We've been talking about this article in the Washington Post by Valerie Strauss, why teachers are fleeing Arizona in droves. Let's go to the live line. Our number there is 790-2040, and Malcolm will be up first. Hello, Malcolm.
Hi, gentlemen. I have a problem with there's not any oversight on these. In these school districts, they're just like their own entities, and there's a lot of wasteful spending within the district itself, and I think the money is there to pay the teachers more, but there is money used on things that don't, there's no proof of return on investment, and that the money was used appropriately to increase students' learning or anything like that. As a, like a trip for four administrators to Chicago that cost $6,000 over the weekend, as opposed to spending it in the classroom, there's a lot of wasted money in these districts.
Even in Vail, Malcolm?
Even in Vail. I worked for Vail, and the only oversight is the governing board and the superintendent. If the superintendent requests it, the governing board, they rubber stamp everything the district, the superintendent requests, because they obviously are successful to a certain point.
Well, they're the number one school district in the state, Malcolm.
Wait, hold on. Is that Bruce Ash?
Yeah.
I understand that. I don't know if they're the number one school district in the state. I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, they are.
But I know you have a horse in the race, so to speak, in one of your candidates that was on the governing board.
Still is.
So she still is. I have my own experience with her being very subjective and violating board policy, but that's a whole
another
story.
So that's another story.
Your viewpoint is a little slighted. I don't mean to sound
well. The facts are the facts, Malcolm. And actually, I agree with what with your point completely. There's actually almost in some respects too much oversight, and we need to have the ability for school superintendents to supervise their principals and district superintendents, and for principals to be able to run their campuses properly. And frankly, we stopped doing reading, writing, and arithmetic a long time ago. I mean, hell, in a lot of these school districts, there's not even PE or recess anymore, for crying out loud. So, you know, get back to the basics.
That was because of the cuts.
Where's the money being spent then?
There is no money. That's the point, Malcolm.
Paul, don't say you can't use absolutes the way you're using.
You know what? This whole idea that there's lots of fat left in these school districts after 20 years of tax cuts, at 20 years of tax cuts to wealthy people in this state is absurd. They've taken cuts after cuts after cuts over that 20 years to the point now we're cutting bone. And at some point, every study says the best way to make academic success is have a good teacher in the classroom. And the second best thing is to keep the classrooms low, around 20, 22 people in a classroom. We're way beyond that at this point. And you know what? That costs money. Let's face it. It costs money to hire more teachers so you have lower class sizes. And it costs money to hire good teachers to keep them from going to other states.
We can all talk
about, well, Vail is the best school district in Arizona, but compared to other states, we're way behind the eight ball.
I hope that you and your liberal friends in the legislature will support fundamental infrastructure changes that are needed to make room for greater pay for classroom teachers, as well as increase the amount of money that's actually spent in classrooms. That's the key to success.
I have no problem with that, but you need the money from somewhere to do that. I mean, this stuff isn't inexpensive. You've got to actually have the resources, and we don't have the resources anymore because of the greed and avarice of the wealthy people.
Those
in this
tax
state.
Cuts
do
have,
not
have,
want
have
middle class kids or poor kids. Okay, to get a good
Paul,
education,
you
because
are
that
wrong.
Costs money.
Okay, when you're
your
both talking,
theory
when you're both
wrong.
Talking, we don't hear anything.
Well,
history is wrong.
No, it's not wrong. Since 1991, we have 1/3 the state income tax we once had.
All right.
That's a fact.
All right, let's go to. By the way, the candidate that the caller was referring to will be our guest tomorrow on the show, Margaret Burkholder, who is running for Tucson City Council, and she is a member of the Vail School District Governing Board.
She is.
Keith is up next. Keith, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm one of these old geezers at 52.
52?
I've moved around the country quite a bit in my life, majorly Florida, Chicago here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the education system, I have educators in my family. I have them living next door to me. It's simply this. It's controlled by one party and unions. You have an electorate here in town that has been educated to be stupid, so they will bond themselves into government-imposed financial slavery. It ain't your money. And when a Democrat tells me I have to pay more, I referenced 1978 in high school when they're trying to force Spanish down our throats so we could take care of the Southern Hemisphere. That's what you're seeing now with illegal alien
invasion. Keith. Thank you, Keith, for your comment.
Let me make one point. We were a low-tax state in 1991. We are now 1/3 the state income tax. We do not have a state property tax anymore. And we have large corporate tax cuts that have been implemented over the last 20 or so years, 30 years. And that is directly correlated with the lack of spending in our schools that have dropped precipitously during that period of time. And the plain fact of the matter is greed and avarice of the wealthy people in this state, they don't want to pay even a pittance towards keeping our middle-class kids and poor kids educated. They got the money to educate their kids because they can send their kids to a high-priced private school. And until we recognize that this is going to hurt us economically in the long run, I don't think it's going to change unless everybody else in the middle class and it starts to rise up and see what's happening, because we are pricing the middle class out of being able to have a good education. That includes all the way up to the universities. Ultimately, it does take, you get what you pay for. And let me tell you something. He mentioned that somehow the labor unions or the teacher unions control all this stuff. Well, if that's the case, why are they the worst paid teachers in the country? Why is that? Well, they must not have much control at all. And I would tell you that they don't have any control, and they're not very good as unions because they haven't been coming through for their teachers.
Paul has plowed this class envy, class warfare argument.
Well, that's because
over
what it is.
Finish. has plowed this ground dozens of times. It doesn't fly, Paul. And I've given you two different ways that this state can get more money into education, and you and your friends would just as soon tax and spend without any accountability.
All right,
no,
let's go
not
to.
That's true.
We have Charles. Charles Heller is with us. Charles is the host of several hours of programming here on Sunday on this radio station. Mr. Heller, how are you today?
Better for talking to you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
And you are well as well.
Thank you.
You know, I want to acknowledge Paul for his solution to the school that said that it didn't have enough money for toilet paper, because in your example, what you've shown is government isn't even capable of helping people wipe their backside, but the private sector, when called upon, is. And I want to really acknowledge you for coming out of the closet with a great private sector solution. Are you sure you're in the right party?
Okay. Thank you, Charles.
Have a good day.
You know, it's just an indictment on our government that we are not funding our schools properly. You know, you shouldn't have to have parents provide toilet paper for their kids' schools. I mean, that's just outrageous. And this doesn't have anything to do with government versus we have such small amount of funding for our schools now. We're dead last in the country. I don't understand why people can't understand that that's a very uncompetitive economic situation for our state. And if we continue down this path, we will no longer have jobs here except for service jobs for rich retirees. That's what's going on. And Bruce said that I somehow play class warfare. Mm-hmm. You know what? The middle class, the rich have been doing class warfare in the middle class for the last 30 years in this state, and it needs to stop. And the middle class has to start fighting back.
Good discussion today. Thank you very much, Mr. Eckerstrom, Paul Eckerstrom, and Bruce Ash. I hope both of you have a very productive week. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Paul. 12:31 on this Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. Bob Hendricks, Dr. Robert Hendricks, former school superintendent of the year and the Buckmaster Show once a month contributor on education, has been listening. He caught pretty much half of the face-off today, so we'll have him weigh in on this discussion when we come back right after this.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, or if you'd like to go over during the middle of the week, you have a couple of days off. It's 3 hours east of Tucson, Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico. The mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. So much to do in the area, exploring the famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, historic Silver City, great antiquing restaurants. It's all there. Many great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon and Bear Creek Cabins. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. He's Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education, where he's the former head of Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989, and he even has a school named in his honor. Bob Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and I certainly enjoyed listening to part of the face-off. Very, very lively conversation.
It was very lively, and what we were kind of talking about, why teachers are fleeing Arizona in droves, that was that Washington Post article that came out last week. And before we hear about your recent trip to Hong Kong and a very interesting project you're working on, I wonder some of your thoughts about what you heard on the face-off and some of your thoughts about why teachers are fleeing Arizona.
Well, it's certainly no badge of honor to be last, Bill, and the economic fallout that we've seen, and particularly the belt tightening in Arizona, really is a cause for alarm. I mean, the economic decisions that our politicians have made continue to increase the gap, because I think what's happening in many states now is that they're experiencing a little bit more prosperity, and they're using that prosperity to their advantage and trying to put more money back into schools. And I see us moving in the direct opposite direction in Arizona. And the result of that is teachers are seeing higher salaries in neighboring states, and they're not staying. We're seeing higher and higher attrition. Teachers in their early years, where there's an opportunity for them to move out of a state to a district in another state, are jumping, and it's increasingly difficult in the recruitment sector to get teachers to come to Arizona. And in fact, in the college education that has probably a third of its students from out of state that come and train here, they do not stay. The majority of them do not stay in Arizona. They go back to the state in which they came from. And so it's very distressing, it's very alarming, and unless our politicians wake up and realize that it's not just about blaming administration or administrative structure. In fact, I have seen numerous studies that the successful districts in Arizona have very lean administrative structures and, by and large, use their money very well, but there isn't much money to use.
And I think that, as Bruce Ash pointed out, that Republicans are trying to get administration levels cut down in these districts so more money goes back to the classroom. So do you think generally that the districts are top-heavy with too many administrators, Bob Hendricks?
I think a lot of it has to do with what you define as administration and what's been placed on districts to administer. Sometimes I think we believe administration is just principals or just superintendents. It's counselors, it's librarians, it's security forces. It's all of these things that, because of the condition of schools today, there has been a social framework that has placed a lot more responsibility on schools, and a lot of that is charged off as part of administrative services. And I would agree, if I had my druthers, some of those services, if we didn't have to have them, we could put more money into the classroom. But tell me, what do you do to keep a school safe if you're not willing to spend the money on security personnel and other kinds of services, in the technical services that are necessary to keep a school going smoothly and operating efficiently? And so it is a lot of things that cause the economic situation to be difficult in schools, not only in this state, but every state. The difference is that other states, I think many other states, have recognized that it's going to cost that additional money.
You just returned from Hong Kong. You're working on a project there which addresses the issue of high school Chinese students who are really at the top of their class, but they struggle to succeed at universities abroad. And why is that, Dr. Hendricks? Why are they struggling so?
Well, I was recently invited to meet with a group of investors in Hong Kong to take a look at what it was a really difficult phenomena for them. They have some of the very highest scoring and highest producing students in the Hong Kong community that are going to universities abroad, not only in the United States, but in Great Britain, Australia, and some of the other industrialized countries in Europe. And they're not performing as well as they think they should. And in fact, they shared a story of a student who was at the very top of his game that was selected to attend Harvard University, and who essentially ended his first year of school with not much more than a C average. And what I think they have come to realize is that while their students have tremendous ability to factually recall and factually address information, what they can't do particularly well is analyze or predict information.
Wow.
And the example they gave was a student who took a course in Chinese culture, which the student assumed he would do particularly well in. And he was given an assignment by an instructor to write a comparative paper on three historical Chinese politicians. The student essentially wrote a story or a report that was would be more likened to a book report rather than something that analyzed and compared these three individuals, and was incapable of doing that kind of work.
Wow.
So this project is going to take a look at maybe some of the higher order thinking skills that could be infused in their educational system that can help them do that. Now, one of the products, you know, we've talked about Common Core before. One of the products of the new Scholastic Aptitude Test is it emphasizes more analysis and predictions and transfer of knowledge. And the Chinese are going to have difficulty with this test because it's a very different approach to learning than what has previously been the case.
All right, let's see if we can work this call in. KG has called us at 790-2040. KG, you're with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Go ahead, please.
Well, I wonder what percent of our children, particularly on the south side of Tucson, is from another nation. And our classrooms are not clogged, but there's plenty of them in there. I just got out of a lab right now. There was 15 people in there to get blood tests. Not one spoke English.
Hmm.
We sat there for an hour waiting on a two-minute blood draw. And it's shocking to me. I don't mind being hospitable, but you have to realize that our country is under, we're being flooded with people with no income or low income. They have kids in our school, lots of kids, and they don't pay hardly any taxes. Some don't even pay taxes at all. That's got to work into the equation somewhere.
Okay.
Well, the students that we're talking about are secondary students who pay top dollar to come to our American universities. In fact, they pay a very sizable out-of-state tuition. And in most cases, these are high-tier students who speak multiple languages. The student I was talking about speaks Mandarin, he speaks Cantonese, he speaks English, he speaks French.
Wow.
And he has every possible ability and potential to do well in our school system at the college level. However, he's lacking some critical skills, and that was what my project is about.
I've only got 30 seconds left, but Jim has called, Jim Kelly, our friend, and I want to work Jim in. Jim, go ahead.
Dr. Hendricks, I was very lucky when I was in school and got a lot of world literature and was able to compare themes. Doesn't that help in terms of critical thinking and being able to predict outcomes?
It does. It's part of, you know, that whole higher thinking skills level that that we either get consciously or unconsciously in our American school system. But in the Chinese system, it's primarily a regurgitation. It's primarily recall of facts. And that's their whole examination system. And
wow.
So what they're going to have to do is tilt that a bit if they're going to send students abroad to schools where they're going to be successful.
Okay, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk to you again, Bob, in mid-July. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
All right, 12:46 now on the Buckmaster Show. The author of a new book about the majestic Ponderosa. That is next on Buckmaster on Monday.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for our conversation with Tucson City Council candidate Margaret Burkholder, plus the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. It's Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive available for you on my website, and that's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI in Tucson, The Voice. We are also live streaming at buckmastershow.com, my website, and the fine website of the station, kvoi.com. The massive ponderosa pine of the southwest United States is a majestic sentinel of our region. After spending nearly three decades researching among these trees, Dr. Sylvester Allred shares his wealth of experience on the southwestern ponderosa pine forest with the world in a new book titled, appropriately enough, Ponderosa, the Big Pine of the Southwest. The book is published by the University of Arizona Press. Dr. Allred is a principal lecturer emeritus at the University, Northern Arizona University up in Flagstaff. He's author of The Natural History of Tassel-Eared Squirrels, as well as several children's books. He has served as an ecological consultant for the BBC, the Department of Energy, and the Discovery Channel, and he currently consults with McGraw-Hill and Oxford University Press on biology, ecology, environmental science, and oceanography textbooks. Dr. Allred, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Tell me a little bit about the inspiration for this book.
Well, it's an interesting story. I had spent years in the ponderosa pine forest working with the tassel-eared squirrel and the ecology of those squirrels. And I had a colleague with the U.S. Forest Service who called me one summer about 10 years ago and said, I'm out in the forest every day and I'm taking visitors to Flagstaff out in the forest and they're asking me all these questions and I'm looking for a good resource on ponderosa pine. Can you direct me to one? And I said, well, I don't think there is anything on the market right now, but let me look around. So I did, and there was not any type of what I would call a layperson's book about walking through the pine forest and seeing the various things that are going on there and having an explanation. And so Dr. John Westerlund is the inspiration for this book. He planted the seed, so to speak, and I contacted Allison Carter at the U of A Press and discussed it with her, and the book got launched from that. So I said 10 years. It's been about 8 years in the works.
Dr. Allred, what makes the ponderosa unique? We have some of the largest ponderosa strands anywhere in the world, correct, in northern Arizona?
Well, we have the largest contiguous ponderosa pine forest in the world, and that would be around Flagstaff. And this particular tree, the ponderosa, only lives in the southwestern United States and extends up into British Columbia and also into Mexico. So it has a very large range, but it's confined to the southwest. It does reach into Nebraska just a little bit and into Texas just a little bit, but it's pretty much confined to the more southwestern states.
Up in British Columbia, I was up there about a year ago. They're having really problems with the keeping the beetles away from the ponderosa pine. What's the big threat to the ponderosa right now?
Well, pine beetles, the bark pine beetles are certainly an insect of interest for many of the foresters. And of course, these insects are there all the time. But with our flying conditions and our climate change, this seems to be increasing each year. More drought, the trees are stressed, and they just cannot fight the beetle attacks. And once beetles get under the bark and get into the living tissue of the tree, and you know, many people don't realize that right beneath the bark, then there's a very thin layer of living tissue. The rest of the tree is dead. The inside of the tree is dead. And so the tree, once it is invaded by the bark beetles and their larvae feeding on that living tissue, it doesn't take very long at all for that tree to die, because it shuts off the circulation of the food and the water. And so the trees become just increasingly stressed and just succumb to the beetles. And then, of course, the beetles leave and go to another tree.
It's a wonderful place to take when you walk in the forest. There's so many wonderful smells, and you point out there sometimes you get a smell of vanilla, butterscotch, and on it goes. It's very interesting.
Well, it's always fun to take people out who have never been in the ponderosa pine forest and go over to one of the large yellow bellies, one of the large older trees that have the reddish orange bark with the large bark plates, and say, just take a whiff of this. Put your nose right in here and take a long, long draw on that. And they come back and say, wow, that smells like. And then, of course, they fill in the blank. I try not to coach them on that. But you come back, they come back with some interesting smells. I've even had someone say, well, it kind of smells like chocolate with some vanilla in it. So individuals are different in their reaction. But I always also tell them, no, be careful, because insects and spiders live in those furrows that you're putting your nose in, so be careful.
You know, this squirrel, the squirrel you wrote about, the tassel-eared squirrel, does it only live in the ponderosa pine forest or other places?
It only lives in ponderosa pine forest, and it only lives in New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah, and just a little bit into Wyoming. In fact, if Colorado moved its border about 10 miles north, Wyoming couldn't claim this squirrel as one of their males. And it also lives in Mexico. There's 6 subspecies of this squirrel, but they are totally dependent on ponderosa pine forest.
How, generally speaking, are the forests healthy in Arizona?
You know, there are areas of forest in Arizona that are healthy, and I'm aware that there are some fires going right now, and in these areas that the fires are going, the forests are extremely dry, they're extremely dense, although there's been some extensive thinning processes going on, but we just can't seem to get enough of that to happen to reduce these catastrophic fires that we're having. And I see this continuing into the future until we can get the forest thinned enough and reduce some of the fuel loads that are on the ground. The forests are going to burn in the summer. It's just going to happen. And ponderosa, of course, evolved with fire. And then over the past 100 years or so, we have fought fires and reduced that natural fire regime of reducing the fuel loads in the ground. And it's coming back to get us now.
Did the ponderosa pine evolve from some other species originally, Dr. Allred?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, all my years of teaching, I used to love questions like that, so I could say, I don't know. Don't know the answer.
Well, it's always wonderful, actually, as an interviewer, to hear someone admit they don't know the answer to something, and they're right up front about that. But that's something I
I used to stand in front of the mirror before I'd go to work and just practice saying, I don't know.
So where do you go from here with the Ponderosa? So where's a good place here in southern Arizona? I guess Mount Lemmon would be a great place to enjoy the Ponderosa pine, correct?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And there are some tassel-eared squirrels there. Mm-hmm. They were introduced in the 40s. Someone thought that perhaps they had been there at one time and had gone extinct, so they were reintroduced. But the evidence wasn't real strong, and the squirrels are threatening the red squirrels that are native there now. So that's an issue.
All right. Where can we get a hold of your book? At Amazon, I suppose, would be a good place,
Amazon,
Dr. Arie?
I think the University of Arizona bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And if you're up here in Durango, where I live, you can go to Maria's bookstore.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're having a beautiful day up in Durango, and it's cool at night.
It is. It was 48 this morning.
Oh, wow.
And my wife just, and I just got back from a really nice hike, and we do a lot of hiking in the summer.
Well, enjoy yourself up there. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Dr. Sylvester Allred, that's Allred, and the book is Ponderosa, Big Pine of the Southwest, published by the University of Arizona Press. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then tomorrow morning, we get it all going again. 6 to 8 with Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joke. Then Chris sticks around from 8 to 9 to do the Daily Double with a guest host every day. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ed Alexander at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.